Right. Okay, then. In the interest of time, I think we probably will make a start now then. So first of all, I'd like to thank you all for coming to this breakout session, which will probably take approximately an hour or so, hopefully with some time left for questions at the end. I think just suffice to say, despite my kind of understated Britishness, we are super excited to take you through this story. I'll start by introducing myself. So I'm Dan Jones. I'm here today representing Nationwide and one of their senior managers on assignment in the enterprise portfolio management space. And taking you through the second half of the presentation will be Charlie Edmonds from P-Cubed, Solutions Delivery Manager. P-Cubed and Nationwide have had a partner relationship over the last sort of 4 or 5 years or so. But I know P-Cubed have got a long-standing relationship with Microsoft. So I just want to unpack that strap line for you and talk you through the story that will pan out over the next hour or so. And essentially what I'll do is I will explain Nationwide's position as an organization. I'm going to talk you through the transformation, that journey that Nationwide have been on themselves over the last sort of 4 or 5 years or so. And then as I hand through to Charlie, he will focus more on the enterprise portfolio management solution that P-Cubed have implemented and a very successful project that has been delivered in the last few months or so. So I'll start with a show of hands. Can you put your hands up if you've heard of Nationwide? And can you keep your hands in the air if you think Nationwide is an insurance provider? They are. They are indeed. In the US, they are. I'm reliably informed. In the UK, not the case. Nationwide is a building society, and I'll explain over the course of the next few slides what we do. But we have no link whatsoever to Nationwide in the US, although I'm sure they're a very reputable organization. So Nationwide Building Society is, as it says there, the world's number one building society and the UK's largest mutual. What that effectively means is we exist for the benefit of our members. We have no shareholders to answer to, and in terms of order of magnitude, in the UK, we've got circa 15 million members, which is a sizable portion of the population. Got some figures up there around the number of assets that we carry, which we've converted into dollars for you. And I guess there's a key point up there on the right, top right-hand corner, which is that we are second largest provider in terms of savings accounts and third largest in terms of mortgages in the UK. So by way of example, we're number one for first-time buyers. And what I'd say sort of overall about that is we're affecting the lives of a significant portion of the UK population and major investment decisions that they make throughout their lifetime. Some points across the bottom here, so we're slowly but surely sweeping up the competition in terms of what we refer to as the regional brands. So over the course of the last 2 or 3 years and with a program that we're rolling out over the next 12 to 18 months, we're bringing a number of the regional building societies under the Nationwide brand for sort of strength of brand recognition, et cetera. And then we just called out the number of employees and the number of branches. I guess for the purposes of this presentation, it's useful to note that at any one time, Nationwide probably runs well over 100 projects in the region of 100 to 150 projects. Our PM and PMO practice pool, including daily rate contractors, is in the region of sort of 500, 550. So it's a sizable user population, which Charlie will touch on in more detail later on. Our ambitions, our aims and objectives are very clear, and that one that I'll call out straight away is that we see ourselves as the challenger brand in the UK market for current accounts. So big strategic decision made by the board over the last few years is that we wanted the current account to be the prime relationship product with the customer, as opposed to our kind of legacy business, which was predominantly about mortgages and savings. We're growing in the UK market in terms of if you need a bank account, you don't necessarily need to be with a bank. And I think we're all aware, whatever country you're in, we're all aware of the kind of economic doom and strife that banks have been through across the world, and it's fair to say the UK banks, the big four or five, have had a very rocky ride nationwide, as certainly picked up some customers along the way as a result of that. These two boxes here, number one for customer service, clear blue water between Nationwide and their nearest competitor. So typically over the last 2 years, we are always around plus 4 percentage points ahead of the UK banks around customer service. Customer service is massively important to Nationwide. As I said, we exist for the benefit of our customers. And the slogan that we use is that the customer is at the heart of everything we do. So it's very much drilled into you that when you're having meetings within the project portfolio space, think about the customer is in the room. And then the final one there is this kind of very impossible to measure, but a kind of media portrayal around what we call in the UK a national treasure. And it's pleasing to see over the last sort of 12 months or so, there's been articles that have appeared on television or in the press around Nationwide being referred to as a national treasure. So other examples of people or organisations that kind of have that tag associated with them. So we have a department store called John Lewis, which is very much known as a national treasure. Again, very strong on customer, excellent product range, and around Christmas time they do an advertising campaign which gets us all nostalgic about Christmas and then going off and buying lots of things that we probably don't need. And I guess in footballing terms, I'm talking real football, not the pushing and shoving game that we saw on the TV yesterday. David Beckham has that kind of national treasure status. And maybe if you think in movies, somebody like Dame Judi Dench and multiple Oscar nominations, etc. It's interesting on that one. So we've just announced our half-year results, which were a record performance for the organisation. And there's a chap on BBC News in the UK called Robert Peston, and he described Nationwide as fresh and vital. And I guess the interesting thing there is if Robert Peston describes you as something else, like a stinky, oily fish or whatever, then the writing is on the wall for you as an organisation. People tend to listen to what he says. So, next sort of section of this presentation, I want to take you through the transformation journey that has panned out over the last sort of 5 or 6 years at Nationwide, because I think it's really important. It plays then into the next section of the presentation where we start to get more into the EPM solution and the direct linkage into Microsoft. So, back in 2007, Nationwide, we were in a good position in terms of our position in the market, the amount of profit we were making. We were pre-economic downturn, so nobody knew that the world economic crisis was about to hit. But the chief executive that came in at that time made a really bold decision around, actually, we're in a good place, but unless we transform ourselves now, we could find ourselves in a very difficult position. So I won't go through them all in detail, but some of the points on there lacked diversification. The brand was underutilized, predominantly a mortgages and savings business, as I referred to earlier. We lacked agility. We were predominantly onshore. All manner of things that the board wanted to address at that point in time, and hence the transformation journey began. So, I've picked out the kind of headline messages here of how it has panned out over the course of the last 6 or 7 years along the way, and we have delivered some very sizable investment programs. And I'll just go through those very quickly. So the new IT data center, so I can speak from the heart on that one, because that was the reason why I originally came into the organization, was to work on that program. Saw that one through from cradle to grave. That laid the track, if you like, for the investment program that was to come. You then had the new mortgage originations platform, which was a much slicker process that we could take our customers through in terms of how we would take them through the mortgage process. Faster payments through a new payments platform, a whole new internet bank service and mobile banking for the first time, led us into then the really big transformation, which was that we we transformed our core bank over a multi-million pound investment program, which took 3 or 4 years. So, touching very briefly on that core bank transformation, I've just got one slide on this, and essentially it is a very simple concept, and I'm probably describing hundreds of hours worth of effort and millions of pounds worth of investment. But essentially what it was about was moving off an old platform on the Unisys, where we had long lead times to get products to market, to SAP transactional banking on the IBM platform, which opened up all manner of opportunities for us as an organization. And really, the interesting thing about that is, if you take the kind of technical side of the project and the complexities to one side, this was the first time that Nationwide was able to prove to the industry, to our competitors, that we could be relied upon to deliver big transformational projects. I think, if I remember, when I came into the organization in 2007, there was a common perception that big projects at Nationwide would take too long, they would cost too much, and generally didn't really deliver the business outcomes that was expected of them. What we've seen over the last 5 or 6 years is that actually we now deliver big transformational change almost without breaking sweat. And this is kind of some of the reasons why we've picked out in words here. So, drumbeat of delivery, that's absolutely about it. It gets into everybody's mindset that this is about delivering for the business and for the customer. Over-communicate, you can't over-communicate. We're much better now at continually keeping the business areas informed about the status of the project. The executive are now kept very well informed through, again, we'll touch upon that more when we get to the kind of EPM solution and what that has to offer in that respective. Everyone pulling in the same direction, so we're much better at how we work with our implementation partners than we would have been then. There's much more of a trust basis that's going on in the organization. So when we work with partners like P-Cube, there's a kind of collaborative team ethic around the delivery. And then the experience side of it, the stuff that, again, you can't measure, but it's about make it memorable. This, if you're going to work on a program, you want to be able to, at the end of it, say, I was really proud to have delivered that for this large-scale organization. And obviously, off the back of that massive amount of investment, a number of benefits came out the other side. So products, brands, services, technology. So independently assessed by an organization called Which in the UK, our banking products, so Flex Direct and Flex Plus, are rated as the number one current account in the UK. So we've achieved that goal of wanting to get the prime customer relationship to be on the current account side of things. And then over the course of the next 2 years or so, we'll start to, through the SAP banking platform, introduce more targeted current accounts, such as Flex One, which will be a youth proposition, so bringing in the younger demographic and other targeted at particular customer bases current account products. In terms of brand, we see ourselves as a serious challenger brand to the UK banks. We're able to sit alongside them and flex our muscles, if you like. Services, our online offering and our mobile banking applications are rated very highly. For example, we have what's called the Home Buyer app, which is kind of like, if I use an analogy, it's almost like your best friend that's moved house 5 or 6 times and they've got the answer to all the difficult questions and the advice you might need. So the Home Buyer app provides that customer service for you. And then the technology side of things. So SAP is our strategic platform for the future. We're very clear about where we want to go from a technology perspective. So the long game then, essentially, where that gets us to, where the kind of vision, if you like, is summed up on this slide in three key aspects. So consumer champion, as I said before, customer is at the heart of everything we do. Project agility, so these days, 21st century, and certainly all, we know that all of our customers expect speed to market. They expect 3 or 4 touches of a button to be able to get the answer to the question. Nobody wants to be faffing around with their financial services when there's far more interesting things to do with your day. So you want to be able to get your financial side of your life over and done with as quickly as possible, if you like. And then the transformation of the business. So that's ongoing. The next 5 years, which I'll touch upon brief at the end of the presentation, we know where we want to get to. We've got a five-year roadmap of the investment that will be delivered. And then kind of in the background of that slide, it's quite nice to be able to show you our flagship branch in the heart of London. So that is what you're looking at there is number one Threadneedle Street. The other side of the road is the Bank of England. So nationwide, absolutely in the heart of the city. And I think our chief exec is really proud to be able to invite his the upper echelons of the financial services industry into our flagship branch on Threadneedle Street. So that's the long game. This now leads us into, okay, well, if we're going to invest that amount of the customer's money, if you like, we're going to need to be able to uplift our portfolio management maturity. And many, many demands were placed on, you know, methodology, tool, and our practitioners over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. So I'll just touch upon that briefly now. And essentially, it's summed up in these sort of 5 points here, and where we start to play into where the Microsoft solution comes into play in terms of the offering that was available to us there. So from a hierarchy perspective, what we had back in circa 2007 was effectively a flat project structure. What that's been replaced with over time is this very much this program and portfolio hierarchy, which requires a much greater interlinkage and a unified approach. Unified methodology, so each and every project at Nationwide follows a set methodology of how they deliver. Therefore, it's much easier for them to have that method to follow, that framework, and then anybody that is, when you move on to your next project, you're following the same framework again. Repeatable processes, portable in terms of moving resources from one project to the next. Management reporting, so it won't surprise you to hear with that amount of transformation work going on, there's a voracious appetite within the executive to understand and know what is going on, what is the status of the portfolio. And as I said there, I'll use it again, voracious appetite for management information. So I know I feel the pain of this on a day-to-day basis. I spend a lot of time reporting upstream as to status. And again, we'll see how the EPM solution is kind of my best friend, if you like, in that respect. Capability, in terms of project management, PMO, all of our practitioners are accredited in industry standards, and very much what we saw from that uplift in portfolio management capability was that we needed this integrated tool set that would be able to surface their needs. And then the final point is this one of professional PMO. So when I think of Portfolio Management Office and where that's come, the journey that's been on at Nationwide over the last 5 years, we've come from a position where it was effectively a glorified administration service, a dog's body for the project manager, through to effectively the PMO now acts as the ecosystem of the portfolio and underpins everything that we do. Again, throughout the course of that journey, the PMO is placing increasing demands on needing an integrated tool set to be able to provide that professional service. So what we had in terms of integrated tools back in 2007 was the NICU Clarity tool. And for a number of reasons, we knew at that point in time that it wasn't going to fit the bill. Picked out a few reasons why. Failing solution. So essentially the project management community were completely alienated from it. They felt it was slow, cumbersome. From an infrastructure perspective, it wasn't properly supported. We had no clear direction from our partners as to where the tool was going next. So a conference like this, there wasn't the equivalent at that point in time, and Clarity we didn't seem to know where it was headed. The implementation part of themselves were struggling to engage in the right way. The information was distributed all over the place. Essentially, if somebody like myself is working at the enterprise level, if I'd wanted to be able to pull together aggregated information, what I would have found is that the data wasn't there. You were very much in this rubbish in, rubbish out situation, and the real plan that the project held was almost certainly offline in a Microsoft format, and therefore this decision to move to Microsoft was effectively staring everybody in the face. Clear direction was needed. Microsoft was perceived to be the industry leader and had a robust support function and a clear roadmap. So it's at that point that we engaged with the guys from P-Cubed. And at this point, I'm going to hand over to Charlie, who will talk us through where we went from here in the P-Cube relationship and the EPM tool set.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you very much. So I'm just going to pop up here for the first few slides. It's not the best because I can't see, but I will come back down. Thank you, Dan. That was excellent. Thank you for the introduction. So in 2009, Nationwide were, as Dan said, looking to replace their Clarity solution, and they issued an ITT out for organizations to come back, and P-Cubed provided a proposal, and the underlying solution for that was Microsoft's EPM solution, the 2007 version. And we were successful in that bid, and then over the next few months, through requirements gathering, design, implementation, build and test, we implemented the Microsoft solution on April the 1st, 2010. And I'll go into a bit more detail on that in a second, but before I start, just around the room, how many people are here as partners to Microsoft? Okay. And how many are actually clients who either have implemented or may look to implement an EPM solution going forward? Okay, excellent, thank you. So I think what I want to get out of the next few slides as I go through is to really look at how the client-partner relationship can evolve over time, and also talk about how we carried out a largely successful EPM deployment, but the lessons learned from that and the different approaches we took because of the size and nature and complexity of Nationwide. Okay. So, as I mentioned, in 2009 and 2010, we implemented the 2007 solution, and Nationwide, they called that PPM. And PPM was a massive step in the right direction. There was dozens and dozens of positives and lots of success. However, there were elements of the project that you could say didn't go very well. So there was a big bang approach to go live, so there's a complex migration from Clarity to Microsoft. There was a deadline of the 1st of April 2010 to tie in with an organizational restructure. And as the project went on and things started to slip, that deadline date meant that certain things weren't addressed before go live. And it was a tough go live. So everyone who were involved on that, the project team from Nationwide and from P-Cubed, it was a tough project. You could see on their faces. You could see them walking around the office, and if you spoke to them, they're like, you weren't there, man. You don't know. You don't know what went on. But it really did show you that it doesn't matter how much success you have. If you have negatives, especially at go live, it's hard to bring back that perception. And I think if here, there's just five examples of things that didn't necessarily, or that people felt hadn't been addressed either at go live or beyond. So they felt that the requirements gathering hadn't been solid enough or across all the business areas. There was a lack of buy-in from the key business areas. So although adoption was high, people didn't feel they were truly invested in the solution. The performance on go live, there were some performance issues. We ironed those out, but nonetheless, a lot of people's first perception of that EPM solution was that it ran like a dog, or they had trouble accessing. I don't know if some of the partners may know the excitement you can have around the security model in Project Server 2007. So issues around that we had to resolve. And then the last two, key is training. You know, you need to train your users to be able to use it. And the training was ad hoc. It was hit and miss because of the time constraints. Not everyone received the training in time. So just these five areas, which are crucial, but it did lead to a challenging go live. However, at that point, I think you could say the relationships between P-Cubed and Nationwide were were low for a while. You could both sides could have probably gone their separate ways at that point. But we knew between us that in taking a number of small steps, we hadn't necessarily ended up where we needed to end up. But we had faith in each other that we did know the right path to get us back on track. So across the rest of 2010, we had a number of small, medium and long-term activities to get the PPM solution back on track. So, like I say, the ups and downs, but we did rebuild those bridges and start to have the trust and faith in each other to work together again. During that time, in 2011, the resource management team did start to look at alternative solutions for resource management. So they were looking to potentially to decouple the resource management from their PPM solution, as it was called then, but effectively 2007. But we relayed back to Nationwide that we thought at this stage to take resource management out of an integrated system where their project managers and their resource managers could work together was the wrong thing to do. So it was important that they carried on having a solution that was fully integrated. And at that point, we spoke to them about upgrading their Microsoft 2007 solution and moving to the next release of the product. But this was more than an upgrade. It wasn't just about putting a CD in some servers and going to the next version. It had to be done right. There couldn't be any mistakes, not after the first release. So we had to be confident that we were going to get the buy-in, we were going to bring people along on the journey. And also emotionally, for both PQB and Nationwide, it had to be successful. We were all very keen for it to work out. So that's when we went for the EPM deployment take two. And I think the key here, for those of you that are looking to implement EPM going forward, probably all these points aren't new to you, but I think it's how important it is to not just talk about them and identify them, but to execute them throughout the lifetime of the deployment. So I'm going to go through and just explain some of these and how we approached these when we worked with Nationwide. So the first important step or pillar is to have agreed critical success factors. So although these were all bullet points, behind each of these was a more detailed statement, and behind each of those statements was a number of measurable components that everyone was brought into. So the project team, senior management, the business owners all understood what it was we were looking to do with this, the next release of EPM. And there's some good examples of how that actually helped the project team and saved the customer money, where we could have, so we had some, we did some performance testing, and during the performance testing, it all passed successfully. But on the SQL side, they hadn't met the memory requirements for our recommendation. Now, they could have invested an additional £50,000 to meet that, but we'd already proven that we could meet our critical success criteria because we knew what the measurements were. So we could move on from that. We didn't have to spend time thinking or going back over ground. It was all clear to everyone. Okay, so the next thing I wanted to talk about was the dynamic approach to requirements and design. So I mentioned earlier that the resource management team at Nationwide went on to gather requirements around what they needed for the new solution. They spent 9 months doing that, and when they sent me the high-level requirements, there were over 750 high-level requirements in that document. So what I planned to respond to in a couple of days took me about a week of plowing through this document, trying to respond back to each of these requirements. And we knew that for this to work, to get the momentum behind it and to get the buy-in, we couldn't spend 9 months on, I mean, resource management is just one component. We couldn't do that for portfolio planning, project initiation, so on and so forth. We had to come up with a way that we could quickly gather the requirements, but also ensure that we were getting the buy-in, getting people to understand what we were going to do. So this is where PQB suggested an iterative approach to the EPM solution development. So through a number of what we call design sprints. This was a method that we'd used about 6 months before at BP, very successfully. So we knew we tried it, we knew it would work. Well, we knew it could work. But the basic premise is that you separate the key functional areas out. So in this case, we've got There's 8 workshops, but there's 7 key areas around project initiation, portfolio planning, project planning, resource management, collaboration. By that, we mean the things that you typically get in your project site, so RAID, change management, status, gathering status comments, things like that. And the idea being is that we would bring everyone into these sprints. They'd follow the process we've said there. So before you go into the sprints, the business analysts would spend time with the key users. And rather than just saying, like, what do you want, it was a case of what are your key blockers and enablers that you'd want from the next version of the system or that you'd stop you doing what you need to do in your job today. And that would produce a log of the key elements. We had a hosted prototype through project support working with our partners, a project host, who are here over the next few days as well. And we would configure that hosted prototype based on the current nationwide system, based on our experience of best practice, and also then on what the blockers and enablers we needed to either remove or enable. And then we'd go into that day one session with the key business users and show them, we'd demonstrate what they could have, and at that point they'd feedback and decide, yeah, no, that meets our requirement, or no, we'd need to see more in this way, and this would get recorded. So any actions or decisions were captured, and then we prioritize those. And then over the next week or 2 weeks, depending on the sprint, we would build that into the prototype or do follow-up interviews, follow-up requirements gathering, so that when we met a week later, it was a 1-2 hour run-through of this is what you're going to get based on the conversations or the work we've done in the last week and a half, last week or 2 weeks. And then we would, on the back of that, we'd produce the detailed design specification that would then get signed off for that particular sprint. Okay, and this worked really well, and I think the underlying reason why it worked really well is there were very clear roles and responsibilities throughout this. So the sponsor was there. If there were any areas of contention or anything that people were getting bogged down with, then the sponsor would be able to just say no and make the decision. The business owners were very important because they effectively signed off the design. So Dan's area, the EPMO, were the business owners for the portfolio planning sprint. So effectively, we had to work closely with them to produce the detailed design that was then passed back to him to sign off effectively. Below that, you had the SMEs. So these were all the other business areas. The key is getting buy-in. So we needed to make sure that all the different business areas knew what they were going to get. So as these workshops would be 25, 30 people sat around a room and going through the demos. So the SMEs would make up the rest of that team. And then below that was the nationwide project team and P-Cubed. So we were the ones that would build the prototype, do all the work in between the sessions to be ready to present back the session or the documentation. Okay, so that dynamic approach to requirements gathering allowed us to cover a lot of ground, ensure that everyone saw what we were proposing, but without taking too much of people's time. So it was very focused and targeted. The next thing we did was we used what Nationwide called the Model Office to finalize the design. Now that was Nationwide's term for it, but you may know it as a proof of concept or a demonstrator. But effectively what we're doing is we're making sure that the people in the business have visibility of what they're going to get. So in this example here, this is just looking, does validate that the configuration meets their requirements? So in this example here, it's just a Microsoft project plan, but one of the blockers from the project management community was that the project plan template they had today was just for resource management and governance. They didn't really support the PMO community. So they would use their plan to tick those boxes, but they do a lot of their planning either offline or somewhere else. So one of the key things we had to do, and that came out of the design sprints was, well, how can we create an integrated template that would allow them to quickly, they have to do the governance and resource, they can't get away from that, but they also need to be able to see their own planning activities and not be constrained by that. So in this example here, we put some additional filters and categories and views within Microsoft Project so they could quickly group or filter their plans so that they could see their planning activities, but still integrated within the governance and the resource management activities as well. But this allowed them to visualize it, not just hear someone tell them that that's what was going to happen. The other thing we could do was validate processes, end-to-end processes. So this is just a diagram of how we would use the enterprise project types to support the project initiation for the projects that were governed by the nationwide change framework. But they could go and review these and understand them and then actually try them and look at them in detail. And then we start to train the business users and actually what the end system is going to look like. So this is the P-Cube resource management module. This was going to be new to a lot of users. So this allowed them to have early visibility to go in and try these things before go live. So go live wasn't going to be the first time they saw any of this. They had plenty of time to understand it. So there are a number of objectives that the model office tried to achieve. So I haven't got examples for all of them, but I think the key ones were it allowed us to develop our UAT scripts. So a lesson learned from the first deployment. User acceptance testing is critical in terms of getting buy-in and people understanding what they're going to get. It also allowed us to develop the training materials so that we could hit what we'd identified before was that not everyone had been trained, but with the model office, we could develop those training materials, do the relevant training needs analysis to understand what training people needed. Okay, so the other thing that may be relevant to some of you if you already have EPM is if you're on an older version of EPM, at some point in the future, you're going to have to upgrade to a later release. I'm willing to speak to people about this, but I think this is the most challenging and complex migration that certainly I've ever been involved in, and no one's convinced me yet that anyone's done anything more complex. I'm happy to talk with you offline about that, but this was a very complicated migration. And there were some key core principles around this that we had to meet. So some obvious ones, 100% data integration. We couldn't do a migration and lose key data. That wouldn't go down very well. But some of the other key things would be we needed a smoother future upgrade path. So we knew this migration was going to be painful, but that was fine as long as we knew the next one wasn't going to be as painful. It could be a more straightforward migration. And remove all bespoke elements. So one of our key targets was to have no customization in the new EPM solution. It was all going to be either Microsoft or P-Cube products. And that was one of our core principles. So in order to meet those principles, we couldn't simply do a core attach upgrade that Microsoft offered from 2007 to 2010. We could do that on certain elements, so for the project plans and the timesheets and the enterprise objects, we could do a core attach. But for the resource management that they did, it was a bespoke solution. So we had to develop some code to take out the bespoke solution and put it into the P-Cubed resource management module. For the SharePoint element, again, we didn't want to use the core attach because there was customization in the current SharePoint sites that were used in PPM. And also, they hadn't used the site columns, or we hadn't used the site columns or content types. So that meant that if you wanted to make a change, a simple change, like add a value to a risk dropdown, you'd have to apply that either manually across 1,600 project sites, or you have to write code to push that out. So we really wanted to build a new SharePoint site template that could have the site columns and content types and remove all the bespoke data. But in order to achieve that, we needed to create each project with a new blank site as part of the migration, then use code, XML, to pull that in from the other projects. Ooh. Okay. I'll carry on. So the other key thing about any migration, I'm not going to get into huge amounts of detail on this, but the planning and testing is absolutely crucial. Don't underestimate it. We went through a number of cycles around developing the code, testing the individual components of the migration, identifying the best process for the migration, so what are the dependencies, what has to happen first, in what order. And then finally, the production migration. And we made a recommendation to Nationwide that they needed 2 weeks of downtime for the migration, which is a long time for a core solution. And it didn't go down too well, and we had to do a lot of justification to explain why we needed 2 weeks. But in the end, it was right. We hit problems during the migration. Core attach failed twice, which meant we were 4 days down before we'd done anything. But because we planned it and retested it again, we were confident that whatever challenges came our way, we would be able to still hit that 2 weeks. If we came less than that, then there was a risk we would be late. And the key thing, if we think about what happened with the 2007 releases, we couldn't have any problems on go live. It's better to say it'll be 2 weeks and be on time than say it'll be a week and a half and then say, well, actually, we're late by a couple of days. We just couldn't do that. It wasn't an option. Okay, so the other key area is preparing the business for change. We went through, as we were going through the project, we were comfortable with the design. We were comfortable that we were getting buy-in from the business owners, but there was still a nervousness around, was Nationwide really ready for the business change that was going to come about from this EPM deployment? So PQube supports Nationwide and doing a number of interviews across the key stakeholders within the organization and get their feedback on where they thought they were. And these are just some of the quotes that we got back. So, you know, we picked the ones that are potentially the most controversial, but it's still, we identified early in 2013 that the business change wasn't quite there. There were things like, you know, it's about winning hearts and minds, and people didn't feel that was happening yet. It needs to be right on day one, training, all those kind of things are so important. And we hadn't got across yet to the users that this was going to be addressed. And this is where Nationwide really picked up the baton. They took on board our recommendations, they looked at their own recommendations and realized that actually we could technically implement something that meets all their requirements, but we were still going to miss the mark if we didn't address this business readiness. That's well. Pass back to you, Dan, just to talk through.
More than happy to.
So, yeah, as Charlie says, this exercise was really useful in helping Nationwide to understand the role that we had to play in making the overall project a success. So, again, some key points in terms of summarising how we went about that. Engaging senior management, I don't need to stress the importance of that one. It's absolutely, if you've got senior management supporting, driving through a business change such as this one, then it opens all sorts of doors for you. And we were able to achieve that through talking to the right people at the right time. The use of the business champions worked really well. So as Charlie says, I kind of represented the enterprise portfolio management space in that department. We had business champions from the project management practice, from the resource management practice, and what that group of people did was you felt accountable for the delivery of the project and you felt you needed to work as a team to make sure that we achieved the goals that we all had in mind. The SMEs worked really well, so in the run-in to the migration, what we were able to do was to get practitioners from the PMO practice to engage with the project in such a way that during the course of the migration and out the back of it, they were able to field most of the questions that came their way. And we kind of adopted this floor walker service that happened pre, during, and post the migration, which was able to massively reduce the number of service requests or incidents or faults that we would have had if we'd kind of left the project management community to their own devices. The project team, can't speak highly enough of the project team that got over the line, and I'm speaking in terms of the PQ project team and Charlie in particular, and then also the Nationwide project team. I'm not lying when I describe them as, you know, a dynamic project team and very much kind of what we expect in terms of Nationwide project teams at this point in time. And they did a really good job of making sure everybody within the business transformation community kept on message. The last one's training. So I remember when I went on the training course for the PPM implementation in whenever that was, I came away from a half-day training session with, which I felt was really just about how do you use Microsoft Project, which I kind of already knew how to use Microsoft Project. The EPM training course was entirely different, and what we were able to do was to mandate that each and every person, those 550 people that I mentioned earlier, all went through targeted training courses where they came out of the back of it with a level of knowledge and understanding around the tool set that meant when the tool went in, we were able to get the most out of it. We're doing the lights so we make sure everyone stays awake, are we? And I use the word along there, generate excitement. We're not particularly good in the UK at getting excited about anything, but there was palpable excitement about this EPM launch that was coming their way. So, as Charlie says, massive amount of work went into prepping everybody for the change that was coming their way. What we'd like to do before we wrap up and take questions, because I know we're heading towards the end of our time slot, is look out to the future. I think what Nationwide and P-Cubed have recognised is that we can't rest on our laurels. There's a huge amount of time and effort that went into delivering the project for day one. It would be a real shame if we didn't really take advantage of that over the course of the next months and years. So Charlie's prepared a slide here, which he's probably more qualified to talk about than I am, around the next steps on the EPM roadmap. Charlie.
Okay, yep. So I think if you take phase one, that's the we delivered that on the 16th of December 2013. And really it was putting in the foundations, the building blocks that would allow Nationwide to go forward. So key capabilities that you can read there, but things like dependency management, change control rate, all of these elements that needed to be delivered and delivered well first. But it's really what we do in the next phase X, Y, and Z. And the ones I've highlighted in red are areas that we know are definitely of high priority for Nationwide. So things like where the P3 is the program portfolio and project health dashboards. So we've done a good job in the project of delivering program and project reporting, status reporting, but the next step would really be to start producing the higher level dashboards that sit above those. And that's just one example. So we can look to extend the capabilities that we've delivered so far in phase X, and then really starting to integrate those capabilities in the next phase. So benefits management, key area, particularly for Dan, and he's already thinking about how can we utilize the EPM solution, or how can we use the EPM solutions to support that going forward. And then up to the top, the real strategic capabilities, full portfolio planning, optimization, and delivery. So we put that capability there. They've now got the nice portfolio analysis suite, but how are we actually going to make just that tool concept, take it onto being a strategic capability within Nationwide, take them forward to improve how they operate in that area. So it's really having, and this is still in draft. I mean, we're only 2 months into go live. We're just coming out of warranty. But it's how do we develop this roadmap so that we have a clear view going forward.
Thanks, Charlie. And I think it's fair to say that, yeah, we are really keen to start having those conversations about how we make use of this tool set that we've just invested in. In terms of looking broader than that out to the future, I thought I'd just touch upon kind of Nationwide's overall ambitions and how EPM exploitation sits alongside that. So the Microsoft roadmap, one of the reasons I'm here this week, as well as coming out to support these guys and give you this great story, is so that I'm able to go back to the UK, to Nationwide, to talk about Microsoft's enterprise solution roadmap. So obviously from the keynote session this morning, there was lots of useful information there, and that will come out as well over the next few days. In terms of growing as a business, I touched upon it earlier, there's a real platform for continued growth over the next 5-year period. So that's obviously going to spawn some significant transformation programs. To pick out some examples, we're moving into the next generation payment space. So in the UK, over the course of the next 12 months or so, the concept of payments over using mobile phone technology is absolutely an industry must. Digital and direct channel development. So there's kind of this perception in the UK that unless you get on board with the digital agenda, you are going out of business. Nationwide are investing huge amounts of money in making sure that we keep at the forefront of the digital agenda. The branch development, so you saw a glimpse of Threadneedle Street earlier. What we're doing is we're kitting out our top 250 branches in such a way that it's a really, really slick customer experience there. And that's just some examples of the kind of investment programs. In terms of on the risk side, I think the amount of investment that we're forced to do in terms of regulation off the back of the economic crisis that we were faced with requires a massive amount of investment there and spawns programs and projects. And I think the biggest risk as an organisation that we face, as well as many other organisations, is the risk of cyber attacks, which is kind of palpable and there for all to see. In terms of getting value within the business, the senior management team within business transformation, we're really keen to understand how an integrated tool set can allow us to do that kind of predictiveness around how do we select our portfolio based on drivers? How do we use the tool set to measure the benefits and the kind of value that we're getting out of the portfolio? So we're really keen to see how that kind of macro level portfolio management capability could be delivered through the tool. Richer data, so we've already seen since EPM went in and the amount of effort that went into doing so, we've already seen an uplift in the quality of the data that sits within the tool. So every month I present to the divisional director a status report, which is effectively all the project management reports amalgamated. The report that we have out the back of EPM in comparison to the one that we kind of hashed together in previous few years is really, really, it's a real difference. And therefore to see it. And then they touched upon it briefly in the keynote session this morning, mobile working. So there's this kind of nationwide, I guess, because it's UK-based, a little bit behind the times in terms of you go into the office, you spend however many hours a day sat there, your meetings are all face-to-face. We're moving away from that more towards agile working, remote working, bring your own device. We're really keen to see how EPM fits into that. So that's just a glimpse of looking into the future. In summary, I hope what you've been able to learn is a little bit about Nationwide, a little bit about how the transformation story placed demands on the need for an integrated tool set. Charlie took you through the project that was successfully delivered, and then kind of where do we go next. We've picked out a couple of quotes because I think it's always good to not just hear it from us, but to hear it from others. At Senior Project Manager Chloe, one of my colleagues at Nationwide, called out P-Cube for the excellent work they did in the project then. I'd just like to reiterate that point again. It's been a real team effort from both sides, which is fantastic. And then Peter Wilson, who's here today as well. Hopefully that's correctly captured your views on the subject, Peter, as well. So another quote for you there. Which brings us to questions. And this is probably at the point in where nobody asks a question whenever you get to this stage in the UK, but I'm hoping out here it will be slightly different. Yes, sir.
There was a lot in there around the need for communication and you can't overcommunicate. Do you work with your internal communications group, or was there someone specific in your group that was there to make communication with that strategy?
Okay. So what we had was within the Nationwide project team, there was a particular project manager that was focused entirely on the business change aspect of the project. So we brought that person in circa 50% of the way through. As we started, the business change bit became apparent to all that was so critical to the success. What that project manager did was worked with the corporate comms team that Nationwide already have in place. So they were able to give the project sound advice on, if you want to get to this large user community, this is the right way to do it at Nationwide. And obviously it was about kind of right message, right moment, right form of media. So some people like to get their comms through an email, some people like to get it face to face, and no two people are the same. So the comms were targeted to the different audiences so that ultimately everybody got the right message. Does that answer your question?
Anyway, I'd add on that is Nationwide are excellent at the poster campaigns and the passing the information out to the users, so you'd have regular newsletters on the status of the project, what the current timelines were. When it was countdown to the close shutdown for migration, you'd have every day, it'd be 17 days, 16 days, 15 days until go live and all those kind of things. So it was, everyone knew it was coming. There was no way that anyone could have missed it. So.
Cool. Yes, sir. An interesting one. So if I cast my mind back, what we do on an annual basis, most organisations do, is we go through the portfolio prioritisation exercise to understand what projects will get the go-ahead or not. I think it was probably a skin of the teeth. If I think back to where the project sat in the relative priorities against some of the programs that you've already seen, it probably would have been a difficult call at the time. I'm not going to lie about that. Looking back on it now, I'm really, really glad that we did it, because those other projects that we've delivered at the same time, both regulatory and from a transformation perspective, would have been a lot clunkier and a lot harder to know and understand the status and the resource management and the planning if we hadn't run the EPM project and the PPM project before it at the same time. So I think there was a kind of general acceptance that, yes, the PPM project could have been delivered a lot better, but we need to crack on and make sure we learn the lessons from that and get it right next time.
Okay, so SDR right now.
Yeah. Peter.
You mentioned in the first phase that a lot of bespoke coding, presumably to do what people wanted to do. The second time, it was out of the box, you had almost the policy.
Yeah. I feel like it was where people like myself, and I'm not trying to take credit for that, but I think the fact that we had more senior buy-in and involvement in the project, what we were able to do was to understand that Nationwide are a big organisation, but there are big organisations using this product across the world, and if we over-customise it, we're just making life more difficult. Historically, we've been very good at sticking plaster business processes, which we seem to be in the kind of popular misconception that we need to do things differently. We learned the lessons from PPM and said, actually, we need to make this about a roadmap for not just this project, but rolling out subsequent projects. So I think there was very much from the top the message that if it's let's take what they have to offer and that be our starting point.
I think the other thing I'd just add on that is also the later release of the EPM solution had some key new features that had been delivered through bespoke customization in 2007 that we could then meet out of the box. So things like the enterprise project types, the portfolio management piece was a lot more stable and usable. So it meant that we could successfully remove some of those key bespoke elements. Okay.
Yes, sir. Oh, it's an interesting one. And we've been debating it over the last 24, 48 hours. So it's kind of a natural tension, if you like, between the situation we're in with the regulators and our own information security teams and functions within Nationwide versus the knowledge and understanding that actually the right thing to do is to be on the technology roadmap. Otherwise, you fall out of support, and then you kind of got the operational risk side of things. So every year we run, again, we spend multiple millions of pounds on the kind of keeping the lights on side of things. So those guys will be very much, I'm sure, driving us down the cloud route, because they are in other areas. And if that's where Microsoft are heading, then I would imagine that's where Nationwide will be heading. But you have got the kind of the other side of the coin, which is the data and the cyber attacks, et cetera, which, so I think it's going to be a really interesting one as to see how that plays out. My gut feel is that we will go down the cloud route. This gentleman here. Number of users, you probably know the exact number.
So, as Dan mentioned, project managers, there's 550. The total number of users is, I think it was 2,800 and something in terms of users who do their timesheets and enter information. It fluctuates between 2,500 to 3,000. So.
Yeah.
all of the above, albeit our general ledger is within a, that's our financial management tool is a separate tool. We have a limited amount of financial management information that we now hold in EPM. So for example, one of the early initiatives that we're going to roll out over the course of the next couple of months is that we are going to take hours in the plan in terms of the resource that the project manager holds from the plan and directly port that across into the financial management tracker, such that that's kind of that one version of the truth. The situation at the moment is you have your resource in the plan and then you have your financial management information about the pounds and pence implication, and the two exist in glorious isolation. What we want to do is drive up the forward view, because projects at Nationwide are need to improve around, they typically plan to the end of the financial year or the end of the calendar year around who they need to deliver the project. They don't think full project life. If they're forced to do it because of the pounds and pence implication, then we think we're going to get an uplift in the kind of accuracy of the resource information. Is it? Yeah. 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 Any more questions? Yes. When you did you mean change management in terms of the project management methodology or? I guess because this was directly between P-Cubed and Nationwide, we, the only people that we needed to convince was within the company.
Right. Yeah, so the people at Nationwide, you stated, you had a slide there that talked about how important communication was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Addresses how you get people from the current state to the new state.
Yeah.
Not technically.
Yeah.
But how do they emotionally make that?
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Right? So, did you use any particular methodology to help walk you through stakeholder engagement and project team impact and support and organizational alignment, or did you make it up, I suppose, as you went along?
We have a standard change framework for how every project in Nationwide is run and delivered, and one obviously one aspect is stakeholder engagement, preparing the business for the change, and every participating business area follows that route. So what you will have is standard project management technique. You'll have a sponsor, you'll have a project board, and you'll have certain mandatory products and then selectable products that you deliver through the life cycle of the project. So in the UK, the standard methodology is Office of Government Commerce, which is OGC. We have a standard method. Our methodology we use at Nationwide is akin to the industry standard. So the project managers we bring in all have that in their briefcase.
Thank you.
Okay. Any more questions from the floor? Okay, well, I think we've got some goodies to hand out to everybody that did ask a question.
So does anyone have any more questions now we've revealed
P-Cubed
that?
Some P-Cubed offerings. So anybody that did ask a question, do come and see us, and we'll dish out those goodies. And I guess the final thing I'd like to say is thank you very much for taking the time to come and listen to this presentation. And these are our contact details should you have any further questions. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.